Did I cover all the topics? Or I was just ranting?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
There's nothing wrong with ranting. I'm interesting.
Okay. I think the concept of pyramids versus villages is an interesting topic because we've been building pyramids since 5,000 years ago, moving blocks of granite and building these giant pyramids to satisfy the egos of very few people. When you look at the ancient Egypt, they eventually sucked up all the resources, and we know what happened to a great civilization. And today we build corporations. We build top-down models, and the pharaohs and the kings turn into CEOs, and the priests turn into marketing managers and branding managers.
That's his favorite analogy. That's actually really funny.
And the problem with pyramids is that they are so resource-consuming, and they are the worst places for innovation to grow. So I think we cannot do without pyramids, but we need more villages. social networks are making that possible, and probably new generation of companies.
That's really interesting as well.
What I'm saying is that it does come with new skills, with new human, with new social skills,
and also new way of thinking. New way of looking at the world and getting things done. We look at the two worlds that grew in parallel. One was all top-down chain of command and hiding information, versus the other one was about distributed power. And it's dictatorship versus meritocracy and democracy. In one word.
Yeah, I have a crazy idea that I want to start an IA-based political party where everything from the bottom up is transparent.
So we could become like the pirate party.
This is a small country.
That's interesting because the Johan Janssens from Nuku Project, he loves pirates. He likes the Pirates of the Caribbean movie and Captain Jack Sparrow. And then we have the Ninja Forge guys. And I said our pack is all about ninjas and pirates and dominatrices. So that pretty much says it all. But yeah. All right. I think now let's hear from Rob. How are you doing, Rob?
Patiently waiting, Rob.
You've been very patient. How are you doing?
We've been quiet. We have three guys here, so we're listening actively and interested in the theory behind some of the discussions.
Oh, thanks. tell us a little bit about yourself, and did you have any question we could answer?
So basically, all of us are a team of engineers, and we started a company called Why Hire Me. And in the most simple sense, if you've ever read an article by Gaping Boy, apologies for not having a video camera, by the way. Mm-hmm. We were behind the ball. The next meetup, we'll definitely get a video camera.
It's okay.
But Gaping Boy he created an article called Social Objects. So you can actually go to gapingboy.com/SO.
You can actually copy-paste the link in the chat.
Certainly. I'll actually add it right now, and that might even be better for you.
Okay.
Let me just type it in and add it. I hope this is the actual landing page. Gapingboy.com/SO. I think this is it. So essentially what we're doing is we're taking the process of creating a resume and making a social object. So peers can communicate and talk and share and discuss around what a resume inherently is all about. And one of the challenges with the student demographic is that it's a very reactive process. They do it as a process to get a job and not necessarily something that should be taken as the same context as a social realm where you do it, you build it, and it takes time to establish. Mm-hmm. So what we're hoping to do is create an environment using Anahita, of course, to help leverage the social context behind that, and then add a gaming experience because we're targeting the demographic between 18 and 26.
Nice.
So in a very short sense, we're trying to target students, get them building online profiles, have fun doing it, communicate with their peers, mm-hmm. and ultimately do something that's inherently good, which is create an online presence. So that's the very short version of where we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we're a startup as well, and getting traction, getting a community of users is no easy feat. We've made it to about 3,000 beta users with our old system. And now what we're trying to do is, logically try to approach it with working with the Anahita community and building a product that is much more flexible.
Is this your domain name?
Yeah, that's it.
That's a really good domain name.
Yeah, it's a. And how many users did you say?
We have about 3,000 beta users.
That's impressive. And how much activity there have, like how many stories are being
explored? So what we did is we actually integrated as part of curriculum, which is a big problem. When you force students to do something, so educators were actually suggesting to use WhatHireMe as part of their school curriculum.
Yeah.
And what happens is they were getting assignments to do, for example, write a blog post. Another assignment was finish your elevator pitch. Another assignment was upload a video. And the challenge with that is the students do the bare minimum that
yeah.
they are required to do.
Yeah.
So as soon as they're done the course, they don't want to go beyond what they're required. So we basically are changing that model.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make it more accessible and more focused on building your career as opposed to getting marks,
yeah.
which was fundamentally the biggest flaw with what we were trying to do. And we in our first beta profile or beta system we created, it was a patchwork system. We used Joom Social, and it's not extensible. It's a big headache to do anything reasonable with. So, and this is where we're at now. I was trying to determine, we're very excited working with you guys. I'm very proud that you guys are in Canada and building you're representing, Canadian developers and it's very close to home that, you guys are so close to us. So
thank you.
Nice to hear that. Thank you.
I'm proud that you guys got this far and you put in the effort to almost commit to 11,000 lines of code, or 11,000 commits, I should say, which is, for two people, is incredible.
Thank you.
So kudos to you both, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
We do have some questions about 1.6 because it is one of the things that's gating some of the stuff we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pass it off to Dale to ask a few questions specifically around 1.6 and a little bit more.
Sounds good. Hello, Dale.
So most of my questions are mostly about performance.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, we were talking about scalability. I was wondering if you guys do tests, like load tests, and if you can make that data available so we can go over it and see kind of make plans for the future, I guess, on how it behaves now.
You mean load tests with like a random generated data?
Yeah, just to give average, memory usage on average requests, stuff like that.
To be honest, no. We haven't done that. Or we mostly usually test everything on an Anahita Police. And regarding performance, there are some aspects we do, like I do some like a unit test to gauge the performance of certain aspects of the code, but nothing in the overall sense. I just haven't had the need to do it yet or ever. Again, as I said, within a social network, it's really hard to measure. Like I have to figure out what the problem is before I be able to do, Like I know there was one issue, for example, for aggregating the story feeds. That was one of the issues that I had to, for example, test it with different story feed and things like that. But other than that, I didn't have the need to do random, like, generated tests. We did one time, did it for 1 million users.
1.3.
And that was one of our clients. They have all the data. Everything seemed to be working fine. That's all I can say.
And that was an Alpha 3 version of Anahita.
And that was Alpha 3 version of Anahita.
Which was not as lean as what we have now, and not as lean as 1.6. The thing, again, the optimization and the scalability comes in is that we need real life scenarios to be able to really see what could go wrong and test in that environment. And you really need not just data, you need a live and kicking social network in action as people using it, and then you can think about it. So data alone is just data. It's like it's not because if you're looking at, let's say, something like a Wikipedia or a CMS, yeah, you just populate it with the information and then you see how it performs, because there is no interaction is happening. On a social network, people are actually exchanging stories and messages, and it has to be in action. You need a live and kicking social network to be able to measure and what is going wrong and where it needs to be optimized. So what we do right now is that we follow certain philosophies. We focus a lot on architecture. Everything in Anahita is built out of node graphs and stories, just like you can build a universe out of electrons, protons, and neutrons. And then we focus a lot on design patterns. We want to be able to build apps with as little as possible code. As much as everyone out there is so obsessed with software packed with features so they can switch off the ones they don't need and use what's left, our philosophy is that take out until you cannot take out and then add what you need. And at every step, look at where you are and add what you need and take out what you don't need. And that way you build a technology that is constantly evolving, and keep yourself light, keep the branding light, and focus on user experience. And focus on solving your problem. What are you trying to achieve? And for every bit of code we write, we do testing for that bit of code. And it is perfectly possible to look at a small, like as Ash mentioned about aggregating stories, or so we identify what could go wrong in those stages, and we try to optimize them as much as possible. But as a whole, for a system, a social network, you have to see a live and kicking social network to be able to see what could go wrong and optimize it. Go on, Ash.
Let me just say. I don't know if I read a lot of Facebook blogs of the engineers at Facebook. I just want to give you an example that no software that you build or even we build, don't assume it's the end product for you. Because as you have your own community, your needs, you have to look, you should be able to change Anahita in order to optimize it for your own network. If it's something generic, we can always add it back to Anahita, but if it's sometimes some specific optimization only happens at your own network. In case of an example is that certain queries hit your community more often than other that would happen on Anahita Police. That means your site needs to be able to be optimized around certain queries. You should be able to do that, and that's what we've been trying to do in Anahita, is that make Anahita easily, like every developer should be able to change the behavior of Anahita in any way they want. I mean, that's something, like sometimes me and Rusty always get to an argument because, I go extra in a way that, some behavior that we don't even want it. You should be able to do that as a developer. Like that's basically what we've been trying to push Anahita for, especially on a PHP language, which is very hard to do, but we. Thanks to some of the tricks of Nuku and Anahita, we have provided that opportunity. An example I was going to give you was about Facebook and the way they did indexing. When you install Anahita, comes with indexing, a pre-built indexing that we put in. But it's interesting that every community have to do their own indexing every once in a while according to their needs at that time. On Facebook, they change their indexing every few months. And back in the days, because they had so many records, it used to take them 3 months or 6 months to actually index the whole database. They come up with a new technology that let them index every record, all the records within like a few hours now. So it's just what I'm saying is that you basically start with what you have, and over time, you have to look at what is the optimization and scalability you want to do. If it's very generic, you can always apply it back to Anahita. We love that. And if it's only for you, then we help you only apply it to your own community or to your own code, basically.
Okay.
Does that
did we answer your question?
Yeah, I was basically just looking for, if you had any generic out-of-the-box performance stats, I know we would have to customize it for what we need. I'm just...
Yeah. No, I don't think I did that. I mean, I know I'm gonna have to do one more test for the story aggregation, because right now we changed the way that the story, like the biggest challenge we have was the story aggregation. That was one of the most, it still is. Like, I mean, I haven't cracked it yet fully, but I've done it, improved it from the 1.5. The aggregation of the story, it's a central nervous system of the whole social network is the story feed. Without it, everything falls apart.
Is it dead brain?
It's a dead brain. So we like that was one of my passions from the beginning on NATO, how to make the story feed even better. And you know, so on 1.5, we do the aggregation at the application level, basically, you know, and there were some challenges with that. Now in the 1.6, the aggregation actually occurs at a database level. So I'm hoping that should actually, you know, speed up things even more. But that's the only place that I had, mainly I had problems with in terms of the speed and performance. Other places are pretty fast when it comes to, I think there's another place that we have to, we're going to have a global search, which allows you to search the whole system, sort of like the spotlight of the Mac or the, you know, the Google search. So those are the areas that, yes, we might have to come up with some stats. At this point, we haven't come across any of them because not much of we needed that much. So.
And another question is that, another aspect, a social network is not, like when you say CMS, you pretty much know exactly what it is. And CMS is usually a bunch of articles that are categorized. Articles can be commentable and taggable, but there is usually 100, 200 articles max on a site. And then there's the rendering speed and search speed, and then you can come up with very standardized benchmarking for a system like that. A social network could be any combinations of nodes and graphs and any rate of exchange of stories that are happening in that network. It could be online learning. It could be a news network. It could be a project management system. It could be so many scenarios. And every scenario has its own unique configuration of nodes, graphs, and stories. I don't think we can come up with a unified, standardized way of testing and benchmarking. Or at least we haven't been able to come up with one yet. Because a lot of the systems out there, first of all, do not follow the node graph story architecture. And second of all, a lot of people build systems, they're not sharing their data. So in the Aneta environment, we are following the node graph story architecture, which is the true, that's what social networks are made out of. Looking at the our own case scenarios and other people's case scenarios, we are willing to identify the bottlenecks and where the speed needs to be improved. And also, maybe a pattern emerges that we can come up with a standardized way of benchmarking a social network. So that is something that today we don't have a standardized answer for you. I'm sorry.
I understand.
Yep.
I did have another quick question relating to something that was mentioned a while ago.
No problem.
About the subscriptions, plugin or something that you were working on?
Mm-hmm.
Comp subscriptions, yeah.
I'm wondering, does that include payment processing functionality?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the one we're using on an enterprise story. It's actually on the repository, and we didn't release it at the time. We thought we will for 1.5, but it's just there was so many uncertainty around it, and it wasn't product ready. It wasn't just working. Now I know why. Like the whole system of enforcing rules and everything wasn't properly done in 1.5, and we couldn't do it. The technology was not at its best to do that. But for 1.6, we're planning to release 1.6 and 7. We're planning to release that. And yes, if you're a developer, you should be able. I think John is already using the trunk. Are you, John?
Yeah, that's right. I'm using the trunk with the subscription plugin as well.
Yeah. So So yeah, it's it handles right now. It only handles PayPal, but you should be able to add your own plugins. Right now, it's not as easy, but you should be able to do that. I'll make it easier later that you can add any payment processor you want to add to it.
Yeah, last year we built a subscription system, and the next step was how can we make this a reusable package for people to use. But we needed to use the system ourselves for a while because when it gets to payments and e-commerce, you got to be a little more careful.
That's very tricky.
Yeah. And permissions. And so we decided to wait a minute before we just releasing. But the code was there for anyone who wanted to use, for the hackers in the community to get in and play around with the code. Whatever we built, I would say 99% of the time, the code is available to the community. Or you can just ask us. We tell you how we built certain things. But having it as a reusable app or extension that you can just install, that's something we do this year. And again, we do our we follow our normal philosophy that it probably is not going to be one of those feature-packed systems, but we make something that is completely extendable and light. So let's go with that. Yes, Ash just posted the SVN link on the chat group for you as well. And yes,
I was just I don't know, can I ask another question or are we moving on?
Go ahead. Yeah,
I'm just wondering, for the new versions 1.6, 1.7, is the data model changing? Like, it took me a long time to figure out how to, as you know, Ash, how to build a proper model. Is that structure going
to
change?
No, it's actually very similar to that one, but a lot easier to understand. So I can tell you this.
Perfect.
I mean, how difficult it is. We have nodes and edges, and that's all.
No, it's a lot easier because we actually the way that we do development is interesting because mostly I do a lot of core, all the dirty stuff. I'm the guy with the wrench in the and Rustin is doing the on the top doing the apps, and he actually founded very, like, Rustin, you can share your experience. I mean, we wanted two different perspectives on when we get to the apps. So what did you say about, what do you think about 1.6 and, 1.7, the way that you build apps?
Well, I found myself taking out code more often. That's what I was doing. Because for 1.6, I was we were rebuilding the same apps and the outer layer with a new code base. And I found myself most of the time I was just taking out code and implementing the same logic. And if you look at the code, and we did a bit of basic count, we have about 46 or 48% less code in the new collection of apps.
Yeah. So another thing I can tell you is that as we go on, we really sticking to the whole REST principle. Basically, it's not perfectly REST, but it's basically, it follows the same way. You have resources and you apply four, but in the RNA, it's five verbs to it, like browse, read, edit, add, and delete. And we built a lot of logic around that. So, not that you can't break out of it. It's actually for subscription, it's totally breaking out of that whole model. Like for sign up, it doesn't really apply there. But the reason that we're able to take code out, because a lot of these logics are built based on this principle in the parent class. So if you follow that, for a lot of resources, you can follow that. And as for a data model, is much more intuitive. Like it builds relationship automatically. For example, if you say that this node belongs to that node, it automatically creates an inverse relationship for you. So it's a very lot of stuff happens in the core, so you don't have to worry about
it. Okay.
Yeah. That was our first implement. I mean, to be honest, this whole domain was it was one of our biggest challenge, and I'm glad we did it. That was the 1.5 was our first implementation, and I never thought we could ever do this, because usually we use other people's code for this type of thing. somebody builds it, we use it. that was the first time we had.
And a lot of the existing MVC out there that people use, they're still building system using rows and tables. You do a data modeling with and you define your entities, and then you define their relationships. You know, like a school has many teachers, a school has many students, and has many classrooms. A classroom has many students. You build tables and rows, and in your MVC, you just follow that pattern. In Nuku framework follows that pattern. It just does it really beautifully. Okay, PHP, Ruby on Rails, and all of that. But for Anahita, we were building everything out of nodes and graphs. And so the approach we took, we only had two tables, two main tables. One is nodes, one is the relationship for the nodes. And
we had many models, so we had to sort of figure out a way.
And then... And then we have a basic node, and then you add behaviors to a node. So a node can become commentable, it can be taggable, it can be publishable, it can be followable, and then you add behaviors to a node, and you build your more specialized node, and then you define the relationship of those. So it's a very different approach that we'd used for building social networks and social apps. And that's what makes Anahita special, that it's a framework especially for building social apps. And then we started to learn that, hey, this model actually can be used to build traditional web apps, such as CMS, or you can build other things. So we actually done experiments of that area too. We built client projects that are not social networks at all, but we used the Anahita framework. And that's the power of the domain-driven design. That comes in, and Ash built the framework because we needed to build our own framework. None of the frameworks out there. So right here, you're talking to the framework architect, which is Ash, and that was the node graph story architecture is not something we invented. It's it existed since the time, since the 60s, when they were studying social networks. You open every computer science book, textbook, it describes a graph theory. And I'm surprised until today, many projects out there didn't take that into account. And they still build software using traditional methods that mimic or impersonates the behavior of a social network, but underneath, it's not node graph story. Now, the benefits of Node Graph Story, we built the first implementation last year, and now we improved upon it on 1.6 and 1.7. A lot of the scenarios that happens in a social network, and they're very complex scenarios, they just magically happen in a very simple fashion because you stick to certain simple principles. A lot of concepts such as privacy, about leadership and followership, and you basically... You build everything using nodes, graphs, and then stories propagate in this network of nodes and graphs. And what you just need is more specialized nodes and more specialized graphs to build more sophisticated social networks. So it's been quite interesting. Sometimes the theory itself, or Anahita, is teaching us how to do things, which is... brings up the question, what would Anahita do? and a lot of the times we worry about certain problems that we realize they're automatically solved just because we followed that architecture.
So yes, in short, it's good. The models are more unreadable.
And yes,
me and Russell love to talk about go on and we go on, but you know.
It's our baby. Give us credit.
Our baby.
Yeah.
We have to talk about
it. Okay. I think that's pretty much it for my questions.
Yep.
The 1.6 release, we're just wondering how, I mean, you've got the beta code up there now, how stable is, like, is there a list of known issues with it that we can look at to see if they apply to us or not, or?
Actually, today we were going to do that. You should be able to use it because all the, like, today we were going to go over basically like lesson today, we were going to go, what were you going to take? Like gauge the whole, see what needs to be done and basically create a to-do list of it.
Well, what I'm going to do...
I'm not sure...
Here's the plan, is that right now we had the alpha release. An alpha in our environment is a code that is in the subversion, but it's not being used on a live site. And then a next stage is the embryo, which is the code that we use to run an Aetopolis, because we want to use the code before we give it to you. It has to be able to work fine to run our operation. And that's the embryo. Traditionally, that's like a beta release. And then, once we figure out all the issues, as people on Aetopolis use the system, then it becomes a stable, and that's a birth release. And once we reach the birth release, we actually relabel it to 1.7. So 1.6 is a transition from 1.5 to 1.7. And for 1.7, then we start building new features in multiple 1.7 releases. A list of features that people wanted and we wanted to have. Right now, you can download and install 1.6 locally and run it. A lot of the basic functionality works. There are still bugs around because I did a complete refactor of the CSS and HTML lately, and it broke many actions. Ash was fixing those last night.
I don't know if you guys. Sorry, I don't know if you guys know. We're moving toward less CSS, which is basically an object-oriented approach to building CSS. I know it's called CSS. It's used as a design, but no, in our case, CSS is actually a very core part of basically building our UI. I don't know if you guys have experience with less, but it's very basically. It uses a compiler to use tricks to creates the illusion of object-orientedness when it comes to, you know, you define variables, you define classes, and you basically, at the end, builds your CSS. We sort of using that for Aetopolis right now. It uses a CSS command, so it's nothing new, except it's just very smart in, you know, generating a CSS file for you. So that was something we're happy that we did it, but it sort of broke things. So, you know, I wouldn't start actively developing on 1.6. I would actually continue doing, because once you get everything done in 1.5, it's very easy. It shouldn't be that difficult to bring them on over to 1.6. But if you, as a developer, if you want to play around, like 1.6 is a, because it's very different in terms of, you know, like the structure of the code. Before, everything we had in Aneta were in two places. One is called Com Social Engine, and one is called Library in Aneta. Now, we have are actually libraries. We split our Aneta library into components, and they're actually libraries in the component section. So we have Com Social App and Com App as libraries, and you extend from these two components there's an underscore.
Yeah. Oh, you're typing in the chat. Yes.
Yeah. So the structure has become much more readable, and sort of like we split open the whole Aneta, and there's no more Com Social Engine. It's called Com People and Com Stories and Com Dashboard. So it's a good place if you guys want to just read it, but I wouldn't do actively right now because again, because of the list and these new changes. It might be frustrating to do development on it because, like, I do like hundreds of commits every day right now. So, so it's really I piss myself off. So, I can't imagine how you guys would feel.
Well, here's the case. It's a lot easier to move from one stable system to another stable release because you look at what you've done now, what you should be doing, and then you make the changes. But if you're building on top of a moving API or a constantly changing API, it's going to turn into an emotional wreck, which is why we suggest to people that, wait until right now. It's good that you download the code, run and learn the changes that are happening, ask questions. But when it actually gets to building and deploying, we mentioned that to everyone. We said build using what we have right now, 1.5, and then upgrade later. That's much better than just waiting for the next release, because there is always going to be a next release, and the next release always going to be better. But if you're going to keep waiting for the next release, you're never going to launch anything.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, I'm having to answer this question, but do you guys have kind of a time frame for when, I guess, 1.6 or 1.7 will be deployed on?
Well, the goal...
ballpark idea.
January or...
January. Hey, I've been working every night. So.
Yeah. Well, the goal was to have the 1.6 embryo for this year, like actually end of this month. And we're not done, but we are very close.
I think we should we should start the January with 1.7 release. I'm moving on to the ComConnect, which is the last component that I'm have to bring over.
Mm-hmm.
The subscription is almost done. Oh, actually, it's done. It's only in skinning. And then we need to go reevaluate the system and fix all the last minute bug, update Anaita Police with 1.6. And for 1.7 is going to have many releases. We're going to have the exact same feature, maybe a few more features for 1.7. But we're going to add new features over time. So we're going to have the 1.7 stable release with almost similar features as 1.5, but done, like, basically it's a rewrite.
Okay.
And then we're going to add more features, like better features.
The new features, the first ones, are we've taken out this, the open social fields, so it's only going to be name and description field for actors, just like Twitter. And then you can add your own fields and using custom plugins. So that's how you can extend add custom fields to actor profiles. Another feature, we want to focus more on search. We like to build something like Google. Like there's a text box, and we already have a network of nodes and relationships, so we can even sort the results based on different parameters, that, let's say, number of followers, highest number of likes and comments and things like that. We have a vote up API. So right now, we have plus ones. That's what we call them. But you can rename it to whatever you like. We also provided voting down, but we're not using it on the UI. But somebody might want to use it for their own purpose, so it's there. And all the comments are now notes. There used to be comments. That makes a huge difference when you perform search. I noticed even on Elk, you search the comments separately. And in this case, we want to, comments are in a social network are as important as topics, and searching them separately is probably not the best user experience. So we decided to merge them. And comments, once they're nodes, they have all the properties of a node. You can like them. You can... and do other things. You can follow them, and privacy management has improved. So we did a lot of infrastructure work, which may not sound as appealing at the beginning when someone installs and say, "Hey, it's pretty much the same." But all those infrastructure are the main reason that when people try a solution and then they realize there are certain things they cannot do or the customization they cannot do, it's because the underlying infrastructure doesn't support it. On top of the new code, we are delivering these new features. Oh, I forgot to mention the composer. We want to have a good composer, a story composer on the actor profiles, which allows you to create new medium notes, like new story, new topic, new blog post. And also, we're going to introduce our tagging system to be able to tag pretty much everything and everybody. Those are the first, those are going to be in 1.7 in multiple releases. And for 1.8, I think it's going to be more focus on the template engine and also mobile accessibility, because we think that's extremely important now.
Okay.
All right. And today, and this weekend, I'm going to go through 1.6 and sort of do a complete evaluation of what's left to be done. And it's going to be on the project management groups. You can have a look. And if you have any questions, you can post.
Okay. So even when 1.6 is, I guess, ready, that you guys are using it, you would still recommend waiting until 1.7 before actually...
We do.
No, once when it goes to... when we update our native release, it has to be stable. You could use that one for development.
Okay.
So that's... No, that's... Like, well, it's like right now, John is using Trunk. The Trunk is the one... Basically, it's going to be the trunk. You can use the trunk because we run Anoita Police on the trunk.
Okay.
So it has to be stable. So that's, that's good news. And everything we want to do, we branch out as a task and then we merge back in. So it's better to like it's then it's actually not that bad if you want to start like get into it. And then it would be good because then I can actually help you guys out to get into basically like, you know, how to do it. Because we need some, I haven't had a chance to write any materials for writing your apps for 1.6 because it's not finalized yet. So,
I need to also write a little guideline for when you're upgrading from 1.5 to 1.6, what are the things you look into and the steps you go through. Things have gotten a lot more developer-friendly. So you write less code, and the API is more developer-friendly. Basically, whatever we learned in the last year, what works better, we applied those to the framework.
Question, you guys had the resume building, right? Is that the resume building app you guys had? I posted the tutorial?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Did you guys find that helpful? Or?
Yeah, very helpful.
Okay. Well, that's I can like rewrite that in 1.6 for you. that should probably be like half of that now. But so you guys had the one with the three different fields, right? Like education and all
those
things.
Are just examples. Like there are more fields.
Maybe there are other ways of doing it. Because I was thinking that that's your specialty, so you guys have to do the research on it. But I was thinking how. Because one thing I didn't like about that example, well, not that I didn't like about the example, but the challenge was the fact that it wasn't really easy to add, like, for every skills, you had to create a node.
Mm-hmm.
So, which just kind of sucks, because then you have all these, so maybe the generic approach would be if you can later use taggings for those things, and, you have tags with different, basically different names, and then you add a person, like tag a person with different skills. I'm not sure yet. I was thinking that the other day. So it's one of the things I'm interested in.
Yeah, once we introduce the tags, there are so many different generic applications for them that they can be done. For example, in our Anahita to-dos, one feature people ask to be able to assign a to-do to other people. When you can tag an act, you can tag them by actors, that might work. I don't know. It's just right now a theory. We have to build them first, and we have to use it for a while ourselves, and see if that concept works better. If not, we have to just build an actual feature as assign this to-do to someone. Then that comes in as we gradually build and use a system. But I think the tagging scenario can be useful in many scenarios. We just can't wait to build it.
Just one more note also. This is not about Anahita. This is actually because we're going to update with 1.6, but there's a one more major not a major one. It's just... It's a Nuku. They have moved from the K factory to another method called service. So that's one major refactor. It doesn't change anything in the applications or anything. It's just something I'm just giving a head up to all the developers that it won't use K factory everywhere. It use K service instead. And it uses the, instead of the identifier, the way we have identifier right now, it's going to use a URL-based standard, basically, you know, like instead of having, you know, com social engine, like model, like person, it would be... So... That's just... And after that, everything else should be fine, so...
Yeah. Let's put the code examples... on for the groups and on Etopolis, because here people listen to the program and they can't see the code that we post
on
the chat. Yeah. All right. I think we pretty much covered today. I think we've gone over 1 hour, but yes, we have gone over 1 hour, but it was a fun session. Did you guys enjoy today's session?
Yes, very much.
Yes, very much.
That's good.
Absolutely.
very much.
Oh, that's good. I'm thinking of doing this bi-weekly, and so we can put it ahead of time, and people can sign up, and it would be a first time, first serve. So people can sign up, and we can do these hangouts together. What do you guys think?
That's a great idea.
Good idea.
Well, I'm thinking, like, I don't know if it works, but also for, like we can have team developer teams or things like that that I can actually maybe sometimes help you guys out, you know, within a hangout session. I'm not sure. Something we have to see how that works.
Yeah, for consultings that we do, we could do through hangouts. But these hangouts are public, and they're recorded as a podcast.
So
the purposes are slightly different. So for these ones, I like to do them more in bi-weekly fashion. I'm thinking, because there's so many things we need to cover. A lot of people don't even know the basics yet about the terminology we use in Anahita, like what are actors, what are edges, what are nodes, what are lead follow mutual model, and we have a page on Anahita Place explaining all those terms or models, or what is the node graph story architecture that we keep talking about. I like to have some sessions describing those, the whole philosophy of Anahita. All right, so let's get back to work, whatever we've been doing now. And I'm going to spend the rest of the day working on Anahita, which is going to be great. Wishing you guys a productive day, and have a wonderful weekend.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you very much. Bye.
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 Thanks.